Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth. Tuesdays at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofvashon.org at your convenience. I'm your host, Susan McCabe. Today, we're tackling issues of race in our society from a couple different perspectives. From the personal, whatever your race, from the social and from the legislative, and we may include some laughs. I want to start with a quote provided to me by one of our guests today. This is from Mary Beauchamp. Privilege isn't the presence of perks and benefits. It's the absence of obstacles and barriers. That's a lot harder to notice. If you have a hard time recognizing your privileges, focus on what you don't have to go through. Let that fuel your empathy and action. Great quote. To help me address the issues that we're going to be talking about today, I am delighted to welcome my guests, two of Vashon's most active perpetrators of racial justice. They are Janie Starr of Vashon Mori Showing Up for Racial Justice, sometimes called Surge, and Ty Cunningham of TAF, the Tech Access Foundation. And they share a love of women's basketball. Welcome, Janie. Welcome, Ty. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining.
So there's a whole lot to talk about here. I want to start, though, with you, Ty. I want you to tell us about the Tech Access Foundation, better known as TAF.
Sure. Thank you. So Technology Access Foundation is a nonprofit, 25 years old, and we focus on serving underserved kids in the public K-12 school system. So we provide a project-based, interdisciplinary project-based learning pedagogy and focused on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. So we provide STEM coaches and subject matter experts to teach our kids what the real world is like, right? And give them opportunity to learn about STEM and what the careers that they can pursue as they graduate. And also we focus on recruiting teachers of color also to help place them in the public school system. So we have basically a core programs of either transforming a public school into using our curriculum and pedagogy, or co-managing a school and also providing recruiting and placing of teachers of color in K-12 public education.
Sounds like a huge job. You've been doing this for 25 years. Here in the Seattle area only, or does it go beyond that?
Well, I've been there 7 years. TAF has been existed for 25 years. We're actually celebrating this March, 25 years.
Ah, congratulations.
And we're basically located in Washington State, although we definitely get inquiries to for locations outside of Washington.
Yeah, I bet you're setting a model for other organizations throughout the country.
We think so. I think it's we've been successful so far. We're not perfect, but we feel like we've been very successful with the students that we serve.
Better to go for the good and not let the perfect get in the way.
There you go.
Janie Starr, tell us about Showing Up for Racial Justice here on Vashon.
So our chapter, Vashon Mori Surge, is part of a national organization that is committed to galvanizing primarily white people who show up for racial justice, following the lead of black and brown-led organizations. And our goal really is to overcome systemic racism, which is huge, in all of its various forms. And locally, we're very small, and our focus here has primarily, and particularly during COVID, been focusing on criminal justice, legislative action, supporting people who are incarcerated, who are coming up for resentencing hearings, being there as witnesses on behalf of their liberation. We also are, I would say, a response team when something happens on the island, when there's a racist event, for lack of a better word. We pull people together and respond. We hold educational events, and we work in collaboration with other organizations, such as the Vashon Repertory Theater, which recently produced the incredible play, The Exonerated.
Thank you. Let's go to that notion of responses to racism. Before we started recording this show, Janie, you particularly mentioned a couple of incidents and responses that Surge had as an organization. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I mentioned responding in terms of being on our legislative response team. Mm-hmm. And that's something anyone in our listening audience can participate in. If you want to get involved in that, you just can email vmsurge, and it's S-U-R-J, at gmail.com to join that team. It's super easy, and it's very satisfying. As far as direct response as a community, hopefully, or maybe not, many of you know that someone, I can hardly talk about it, somebody posted, painted, splattered a racist term at our village green and also on a business wall across the street. And I think the initial reaction is, oh, let's just cover it up. The other reaction is to be shocked and horrified because Vashon never has racist events, right? And not do anything. And I, like most people, my initial reaction is to put my head in the sand and say, oh, that's terrible. And then go, oh, wait, we need to respond to this. And what I loved about the response was that it wasn't just Surge. I just put the word out to about 15 white people who I thought would be interested in taking some action. And together, very rapidly, we came up with some ideas. I immediately contacted Ty, who is my friend and ally and co-conspirator in all things, to get his input. Because I believe that white people should never go off half-cocked with their own ideas about what needs to be done, that we need to make sure it feels appropriate and helpful to people in the Black and Brown community.
So what did you do?
So what we did was we gathered names, and we got, I don't even remember how many we got, but we got hundreds and hundreds mm-hmm. of names really quickly, who signed on to a statement about showing up against racial injustice on the island. And some of us in our group just paid for the ad. It was a half page ad in the Beachcomber. And then other people started offering to make donations. And since we'd covered the ad, I contacted Ty again and some other folks and said, who could we give this money to? Because we now have, I think it was like about $1,200 over.
And who did you give it to?
And I felt strongly it needed to go to Black-led organizations. So actually, we gave half of it to TAF and the other half to the Del Ridge Farmers Market in Eastern West Seattle.
West Seattle.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to take a field trip there this summer. But it's a farmer's market founded by African women. And most of the vendors are African or other refugees or immigrants. And or they are shoppers there.
So that is a community slash organizational response to a blatant racist act.
Right. And it wasn't perfect. And I want to reiterate what you said about not letting perfect be the enemy
of the good.
I believe that many of us white people hate making mistakes more than almost anything and hate showing our ignorance. And so we don't act because we're afraid we're going to screw up. And as someone who screws up all the time, I can assure you that you just get back up and start over.
Let's go to that. Let's talk about the personal. And I, as a white person in a primarily white community, make a whole lot of horrible mistakes, knowing that I am fundamentally racist. So what can a white person do when they observe a racist act. And Ty, I'd like you, if you don't mind, to tell us what you'd like us to do when you experience a racist, whether it be a microaggression, a macroaggression. How would you like your white allies to behave?
Well, first let me say that in response to the incident specifically on Vashon,
yes.
Right? I definitely appreciated Janie reaching out to me, right? There's two sides of that thing, and I want to see an action, execution, right? So being responsible, knowing who to, well, let me slow down because my mind goes in a lot of different directions, right? and I want to make sure I cover our community as Vashon as a whole, right? And because
yes.
I've been here for a long time and had experiences, personal experiences. My sons have had different experiences going through the school system as well. But specific back to this incident, it's a call out for you to recognize who you are as an individual, being white, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you feel comfortable doing in response to that, whether that is what Janie did in calling me and saying, hey, what would you like for us to do? Or taking up on yourself to doing what you feel is right, right? It's still about the execution, right? Doing something. And actually graduating from that when you see something else that happens, and hopefully you build I want to say the word culture, but I'm not sure it's a good fit, but maybe a good habit, maybe, right? Because you either respond emotionally, physically, right? And when these things happen. So it's difficult, right? It's difficult. And specifically in a small community like Vashon, right? When I moved here, you think about, my wife and I didn't think about the demographics of the island when we moved here, right? It's a beautiful island, beautiful place. And we just assumed everything was beautiful as well. And the people were beautiful, right?
And where were you coming from?
We came from North Carolina, right?
Okay.
Which is another different experience when you talk about race and
mm-hmm.
racism, right? On the East Coast, it's more about places where you can't go or you're not accepted, right? And you know
Still?
These type of things, right? You kind of, and even more that my wife is white, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have interracial family. So there's things that we would incur in restaurants or shopping, right? If my wife was by herself, she could have a wholly different experience.
Interesting.
Right? When we went out as a family, right? So, and that's regardless of, I want to say economic status, right?
Oh.
It doesn't make a difference, right? It's specific to a person's feeling of how they feel about you as an individual when they see you, right?
And you're talking about North Carolina. The East Coast specifically.
I'll say East Coast, but we live specifically in North Carolina, in Charlotte,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's still there, right? As we all know with the experience that happened across the country over the last several years, that racism is still among us, right? And
yes.
we have to do what we can do to change people's thoughts and feelings. But back to Vashon on the specific incident, I appreciated what Janie mentioned about the people who got behind this and put the ad in the Beachcomber and spoke about, you know, we don't want to accept these things and we want to do something and we're here to help. But to your point, how can we help? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's the conversation, having those hard conversations and being specific and figuring out and working together. Right. Because it takes all of us. Right.
The hard conversations. Can you say more about that? What are we looking at when we have those hard conversations? For instance, if you were to experience a microaggression here on Vashon, and maybe you can give me an example of what that might be, or maybe you can do that, Janie. What would be a microaggression that a white person could wittingly or unwittingly?
Well, I think it's interesting as a term. I just read a really good article talking about the fact that there are no microaggressions.
Mm.
They're aggressions, and they hurt. And I think it's almost, at least for me, and as a woman, I've experienced plenty of them in my life. And in fact, very recently, I experienced one with a ferry worker who said something really ugly to me, and the person with me, who was a white man, said, oh, he was only joking.
Yeah, I hate that.
Don't take it so seriously.
Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't be allowed to only be joking at my expense.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a white woman, if I experience something like that and it stays with me and it nags me and it pulls me down, what it must be like to be a person of color, being labeled in some way, called out in some way, hair touched in some way.
Yeah,
where are you from? Kind of questions.
Yeah.
You don't look like you live on Bashan. I have a black woman friend who was told that by a police officer.
You don't look like you live on Bashan?
No, yeah, right. And she was in her 50s at the time. She's a businesswoman. Not that any of that should matter. She was driving and got pulled over while black. And the only thing she'd done wrong was she didn't look like she belonged here.
Right. Or how long have you lived here? Or I haven't seen you before? Or do you know this person? Or being called the wrong name? Right, it's like, no, that's, I don't know that person.
See, now those things are deeply disturbing, because to my mind, the example that you use, Janie, regarding women and the examples of those kinds of aggressions against black people reveal very deep convictions that need to be brought out, that need to be called out. So if I observed someone saying to you, Ty, you don't look like you belong here, you don't look like you live here, what would you want me to do?
Just be direct, right? Ask them why they asked it, why they made that statement, right? Just put them right back on the spot and direct your conversation to them, right? And that's all we can do, right? We have to be, when it happens, address it.
Call it out.
Call it out, mm-hmm. right? And recognize that you have some entitlement. Right? Recognize that.
Yeah.
And participate in those conversations. And then when you're not around me, when you're amongst your friends and other people that you might have conversation with, if you feel like that they're racist in some form or fashion, or make a statement that you feel uncomfortable about because the way you feel, then you address that, right? And ask them, what makes you say that? I'm uncomfortable with you saying that. You know, tell me why you said it, and help them. I'm not, you know, I don't want to, again, people are, in some cases, taught these things, right? Because inherently, I don't think anyone just is born as a racist, right? It may be the environment that you're raised in. It could be your family, your community. All those things play a part, right? So it's critical that we try to figure out what's causing it and address it and have a conversation. And it's taking little steps in the right direction, right? It's a journey. And we're all in this together.
And I would just add, I find it really liberating to look at my white privilege as an opportunity. It's not something I'm responsible for. I came into the world the way I came into the world. And I think a lot of white people spend a lot of time, I consider kind of wasted time, on guilt and shame. And I realize those are difficult to just wish away. Or anger, projected anger, back out to whoever is causing that discomfort by proclaiming your white privilege. It's given that I have it, that I walk around in white skin, then I have the opportunity every day to use it. And I get to choose how I use it.
And it sounds to me like that is at least in part about increasing your awareness, keeping that idea of, okay, here's my racism acting, or here's that person's racism in action, kind of a top of mind, just staying aware of it. And Ty, I don't know, we may have touched on this, but we were talking somewhat about the distinctions between racism on the East Coast, particularly what I consider the Southern East Coast, and here in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of folks in the Pacific Northwest like to think that we're not racist. How would you respond to that?
Yeah. I would say, again, back to my personal experiences, right? How I can express it. And on the East Coast, again, it was more about places that you know you were not supposedly welcome, right?
Right.
At a certain point of time in the day, when the lights go down, you shouldn't be in that area, right?
Ooh.
You should be home,
yeah,
right?
That's terrifying.
So that's
scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, based on personal experience living out here, moving out here to the Pacific Northwest and meeting different people and meeting my Black friends and talking to them about racism out here, it was more about their personal experience about getting jobs and hidden racism, right? They didn't know a person was racist until another person came to them and said, hey, by the way, you might want to take a second look because this person did this, right? Or you didn't get the job because of your skin color, right? Or you're getting paid $10,000 less because of your skin color, even though you have the same qualifications, right? So it's just based on time and experience. But again, we're all have different experiences, different parts of the country, but it's alive and well all across the country.
Yeah, it certainly is. Thank you for that. Let's talk about other more global responses to racism. And I think one of the things we wanted to talk about was reparations. First of all, how do you each define that? And I want to see if you both have the same answer because it's such a controversial issue. So let's start with you, Ty. How do you define reparations?
Again, that's a tough one for me, right? Because you talk about 40 acres and a mule, right? Mm-hmm. History and the things that happen over time. And then as a Black man, listen to our community leaders, right? And our activists and getting their definition of it, right? But on the personal level, I'm thinking of, again, just calling out the wrongs, right? If your organization is led by a person of color that you feel comfortable supporting and you appreciate the mission and you want to contribute financially or as an individual and volunteer, just give back, right? And help lift someone up, right? Someone, an organization or a community up, right? To me, that's reparations. But again, it's a commitment, right? It's not, give $5 a month and say, hey, I helped them out and I feel good about it and go back to the country club and go, yeah, I helped them out and I gave money, right?
Yeah.
It's bigger than that, right?
Yeah.
It's about being committed, right? And staying committed over time to see change, right? It's like having a goal, right? And taking little steps to meet that goal, right? So that's my kind of reparations. Right.
It sounds like superficial acts versus deeper acts.
Right. So, yeah, just get committed. Right. Be the change that you'd like to see. Right.
Uh-huh.
And try to sustain that and try to get more people involved in it as well.
So that sounds like less of a financial deal than some other folks might used to define the term reparations. So, Janie, I want to hear your definition of reparations.
I would love to share my thoughts about this because it's something I care about deeply and it's something I've been learning about, I would say, in the last 6 months, learning a lot more about. We talk about truth and reconciliation a lot, and someone recently said to me that reparations is the bridge between truth and reconciliation, and that you can't have reconciliation without reparations. You think of truth as acknowledgement of the atrocities that have been foundational in our history, going back to enslavement, and then you move into atonement, which is what reconciliation is about. But reparations are the bridge, and I don't think that it's not about money. I think it needs to come from a deeper well, that it has, some even say, some of the Black leaders I know in this field talk about it, is actually spiritual. And that's not language that I would personally use, but I began to understand it as the importance for me to deeply acknowledge the past, to acknowledge the harm, and not just the harm that was brought upon people who enslaved other people, but also on the enslavers and on those of us who are descendants of enslavers, which I would say is really all of us.
Yeah, probably.
The reason I got into this is because a white male friend of mine, who someone I've always looked up to, had spent an hour and a half talking to friends about reparations. And I said, that's really great. What are you all going to do next? And he said, we're going to talk about climate change. In other words, we're moving on to the next conversation, not we're going to take action. And he said, because it's really complicated. And I'm like, well, how is it so complicated? Well, I came from Pittsburgh and my background isn't enslavers and yada, yada. And I'm like, but have you benefited? Because we all benefit every day from that. And people in the North benefited and people on the West Coast benefited from the fact that the South enslaved people.
Well, from the fact that this country is foundationally white supremacist.
Exactly,
country.
Which is what all that so
right, the
possible.
People who could vote were defined as white male Christians.
Right.
So that's where it all started.
Yeah.
And we're all there.
We're all there. So I just think when people are trying to sort this out for themselves, it isn't critical that you came from enslavers to want to pay reparations. I consider it a real part of privilege and a great opportunity. And it has really changed how I look at my relationships with some of the organizations that I support. Instead of thinking about it as donations, I think of it as payment. And it's one of the advantages of getting into a monthly payment. There's a great little group of four white women and young white women in Seattle who've started something called the Civil Reparations Project. And they give hour-long presentations. They don't charge for it. And their whole purpose is to educate us white folks and then to get us to pay reparations as soon as that 1.5 hours is over. And so I had made one donation to the Africatown Community Trust in Seattle. Mm-hmm. If you don't know about it, be sure to look it up. It is fabulous work that they are doing. Well, now I make monthly payments. And it feels really different when I get their emails. I read them. I don't just go, oh, yeah, I donated to them. And so it's a commitment.
And I hear from you a financial commitment, and I hear from Ty a deep personal commitment to reparations, which works nicely together.
It's both.
Yes, it is both. And if you don't have money to donate, you can become committed in the way that you behave on a personal level, and the organizations with which you volunteer. And there are Vashon Island Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice, is one of those organizations for people on Vashon. There are plenty of organizations throughout the region that people can get involved with. We only have a minute left, which shocks me. I want to close with a comment about Patrice Cullors, who is one of the founders of Black Lives Matter and will be making a presentation here at Vashon Center for the Arts. Ty, what can you tell us about Patrice?
Patrice with the Black Lives Matter, again, it's one of those things that, you know, we need to have the conversation, the hard conversations, right? We all know about the incidents that's happened in the last 3 or 4 years that have brought to the top, right? And driving the community to support BIPOC organizations, things that happen from, you know, from the police department, the communities, underserved communities, whether it's politicians or politics, right? Being oppressed, just, again, having the hard conversations and being transparent about it, right? And being committed to trying to help make a change, right? And she's a great leader. She's a servant, right? And visionary. And I'm excited about her coming to Vashon. I would encourage everyone on Vashon to find the time on their schedules to attend this event. If you cannot attend the event, speak to someone who did attend the event. And hopefully it's recorded, but definitely encouraged about her showing up.
And do we have on the top of our heads the time and date of
It's April 8th.
Thank you.
At VCA at 7:30. It's also going to be streamed live, free. Ticket prices are steep.
Yes.
And so I would invite anyone who needs a ticket and feels that they can't afford it, just to send me an email at vmsurge@gmail.com for some information about getting tickets. And also, if you are someone who would like to purchase a ticket on behalf of someone else, get in touch with me.
Thank you both, Ty Cunningham, Janie Starr. What an incredible conversation, and I'm really sorry we only had a half hour. And thank you, dear listener, for joining us here on Real Talk Tuesdays at lunchtime. Thanks for listening.